Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we will commence our reading from verse 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 11. And he said, that is, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And he began to be merry. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 24. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts. This parable is the third of three parables in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. We have the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then this one, the lost son, commonly known as the prodigal son. It has been called the best short story ever told. And I want to look at this parable tonight under the title, Man's Search for Happiness, because that's really what it's all about. This young man that left home, and why did he leave home for? Because he wasn't happy at home, and he thought happiness was to be found in the far country. And so we've entitled it, Man's Search for Happiness. A preacher once preached on a sermon on the text from Deuteronomy 33 and verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who's like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? And he entitled his sermon, Why Be a Christian? And the first reason he gave was because the Christian life is a happier life than any other. And so it is. It's a happy life. Yes, we all know we have our ups and downs, we have our problems and difficulties and testings. But it's a happy life because at the end of the day, we know that our soul is secure in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're going to glory, and if death would come, then it'll be absent the body, present with the Lord. A college professor, Christian college professor, was asked what it was that makes Christianity better than any other religion. And he said, comfort for a dying man. Isn't that what it's all about when you come to the end of journey? Comfort for a dying man. And so we want to look at this tonight, man's search for happiness. And we want to consider, first of all, the desires that bound this young man. We read in verse 12 of the chapter And the younger of them, two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. You see, the desire of this young man was to get away from the presence and the authority that he was under in the home. He thought that out there in the far country that he could do what he wanted, act as he pleased, and he'd be happy as the day was long. Oh, he didn't mind his father being alive and in the home, but he didn't want him to exercise authority over him. And, you know, he had no cause or no reason really to be discontented at home. Because when we read in verse 17, when he came to an end of himself, and when he considered what he had in his father's house, he said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You see, too late, or almost too late. He remembered what he had, but he didn't appreciate it, what he had in the father's house and at home. And you know, that's the attitude of many towards God, because God the Father is in the story. And there's those that, if they believe in God at all, they don't want God to have any authority over them. They don't want to be under his rule or his commandments. They want to do as they think best for themselves. And of course, that's what society tells young people tonight. If this is what you want, you go for it. No matter the morality or immorality of what they're going to do. That's society tonight. Do your own thing. And this young man wanted to do his own thing. He didn't realize and appreciate what he had in the Father's house. Just that people don't appreciate what God has provided for each one of us. God created the heavens and the earth. And he put in all there what we require. And the sun and the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. And even the unsaved, if they just start to consider what they have, they would maybe think differently about looking for the far country. They don't want God to intervene in their lives. That's what it's all about, you know, all the arguments about God and no God. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. Want to do their own thing. And you know, I believe a country or a people, and they'll say to God, no God. And God will just say, that's all right. You have it your way. And we have seen it in our country and our nation. And what's happening? Chaos. That's what's happening. No God. Take God out of the equation. You've got chaos. And that's exactly what we have. This young man didn't want to sit under the authority of his father. He didn't want to be brought up in the discipline of the home, which was meant for his good, by the way. And he couldn't wait until the father died. He wanted his inheritance now. It's not what people want. They want everything now. They want it now. Used to be, you know, when people got married, you just saved up for the things that you wanted in the home. Was that right? And you didn't have them until you had the money to pay for them. Now, many young people, not saying them all, they just want it all now. They want the house, they want it decorated, they want it filled with all the luxury items that are in there. They want it now. And this young man wanted all that he wanted now. There's three things to note in his desires of this young man. He was selfish. His attitude could be summed up in two words. Give me. Give me. It's not what society is today. Give me. They have a touch of the gimmies. And that's what he said to his father. He wanted his inheritance now. He couldn't wait. And he wanted the inheritance to get into the far country and turn into the glittering world that beckoned him. He said, that's what I want. That's what I want. I don't want to be staying here working on the farm all the time and getting little money for it. I want to be out there and I want to have a good time. The world, that's what I want. You know, young people, some of us have been in the far country and some of us have been there and done that. And as they say, wore the T-shirt. And there's no happiness and there's no joy. And there's nothing good about being in the world in the far country. It's a hard place. But this young man was to find out for himself. And it's very difficult. You try to tell young people, and there's many, many good young people, not saying they're not, but somehow or other, they want to try this for themselves. They won't listen to advice. Very few. I want to try it for myself. I want to go out there. I want to have friends. As you know, it's all about getting, isn't it? Getting money, getting excitement, getting popularity, getting their own way, give everything they want for themselves. And yet God has provided for every need. God has provided for us. It's tragic that so many feel that they don't need God. I can remember somebody in royalty saying many, many years ago that man has got to the place now where he doesn't need God. Well, man does need God. He needs him now more than ever he needed him. So he is selfish. It was all about him. It wasn't about the father. It wasn't about the brother at home. It wasn't about anybody else. It was all about him. And then he was sincere. Well, I'm sure he was sincere in his belief that happiness and freedom were to be found in the far country, out of the Father's presence and control. Just as thousands today think that true happiness and freedom can be found by turning their backs on God. Sincere. Proverbs 16 and 25 says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's a way that seems. And for young people and others, it seems, boy, that far off field. It looks ever so green. Just like Lot, you know, when Abraham given his choice to take whatever part of the country he wanted, and he saw the fields, that they were good for grazing and for the cattle. But he didn't stop to think that just beyond there was Sodom and Gomorrah and corruption. And people don't think, when they don't want God, that outside there's corruption and there's immorality and there's danger and there's death. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. He was sincerely wrong. He was stubborn. Somehow, I feel that the Father did not let him go easily. Now, we're not told. We're not told what the Father said to him, but my Father should know what they would try to do if one of their sons said, "Look, I want the upstakes, I want what's coming to me now, and I want to go so and so." And maybe they're not the age or mature enough, and you know in your heart it's a wrong move, and you've tried to persuade them otherwise. But the young lad wasn't listening. And there's very few listening today to the gospel. Very few listening that there's a judgment to come, that there's a day of accountability. There's a day when we'll all stand before God, and that every idle word will be given account unto God. And they don't want to know. They're stubborn. But they have to remember Proverbs 13 and 15. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. This young man must discover that personally. It's hard. Way of the transgressor. It's hard. And I often think, you know, how God puts obstacles in the way of people to keep them from going to a lost eternity, to hell. The love of a father or mother, a faithful Sunday school teacher or Bible class leader. Maybe somebody at the work, and they give them a wee gospel tract, or they invite them along to the meeting, and God is putting obstacles in their way, and they're trampling over them. Trampling over them. Many a mother's heart is broken because she's praying for a wayward son. You see, he made a deliberate choice. And he thought this is the way that will lead to happiness. I can think of my own experience before I was saved. And I was in the far country in the world. And I can say this, God put barriers in my way. Because I was brought up in a home where I was taught right from wrong. My mother was a Christian. She'd backslidden for a while. She came back to the Lord. I don't know if her dad was ever saved or not. He died at an early age. But we were brought up to go to church. Our Sunday was a Sunday school, church, children's service, and church again. We were taught right from wrong. But when I got to the age of 17, when my father died, I wanted a taste of the world. And some of my friends, they all wanted it. And we got into the drink and all the rest of it. The only thing we didn't get into was the drugs, because there was no such thing in those days. And I'm giving my age away here. The only drug was perhaps an Aspro for a sore head. But we were there. And I can remember times when God was speaking to me. I can remember one time vividly when only for God's hand upon me, I wouldn't be here tonight. And you know, God is gracious and He's merciful. And He's putting barriers in the way of people to keep them from going to lost eternity. I can remember one night, we were at a dance, and when we came out of the dance, snow had been snowing heavily. It was in Ballymoney, that's about 8 miles from Coleraine where we lived. There was no bus service. Nobody was coming out that night. There was no taxis coming out that night. And four of us walked home the 8 miles in deep snow. And only for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here tonight. See, I can see God's hand. And God desires not the death of any, but rather they would turn from their wickedness and live. We've been there, young people. There's no joy in it. There's no true happiness. It only could be found in Christ and Him alone. And then we notice the disasters that befell him. This young man set out to get. He wanted. I want the world. I want the pleasures. I want the popularities. I want the parties. And I want a good time. And immediately he began to lose. He lost his wealth, verse 13. He wasted his substance and riotous his living. And he spent all. Now, no doubt, when he went out and met up with companions that had been far better without, and while he had the money and the drink was flowing, he was hail fellow well met. But you know, when the money ran out, so did his friends. That's the way it is. That's the way it is of the world. And he began to be in want. And you know, his wealth was not just money. What is wealth? What really is wealth for a young person or older person? What is the precious thing that life offers? Well, could we suggest, is it not the opportunities that life holds of being someone worth being? That not what life is all about? Should being someone worth being? Someone that people can look up to, someone that people can depend upon to tell them the truth, to help them in any way, of doing something that is worth doing. Our hearts go out to young people, and we've seen in recent times a young man, I think he's a reporter, and he went into Belfast, and for about a week he lived rough as a homeless person. And he said it was hard. It was hard. And, you know, they're so caught up in their sin and so caught up in their circumstances that they're really, really no use to anybody, not least of all themselves. That's the devil. Gets a young life and he promises him, you know, whatever. And sometimes you see in the billboards photographs or pictures of young people, and they're all sitting around the table with their glasses and their drink and they're laughing and all the rest of it. But it doesn't show you after midnight when they can't bite their own finger and when they're getting into trouble. I remember one night when I was working in Belfast in Mount Marion, one of our congregation took ill, and about 11 o'clock at night And I got the call and went over. It was an accident, an emergency department. And I stood there a good while. I'm sure it was 1:30 in the morning when I got out. And I come down the Lisburn Road. And you know, my heart went out to young people. And I'll tell you something else, I was a bit scared. I was a bit scared. Because young people were coming out of the pubs and the clubs and they were staggering. And they were trying to wave me down. They must have thought it was a taxi. And I just said to myself, you know, we're so sheltered. We don't know how half the people are living. And those young people were stoned out of their head. And, so, and that's the devil. That's the devil. He lost his wealth. He lost his freedom. The very thing that he set out to find, to enjoy, was the very thing he lost. Notice verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Not much fun now. Not much glitter and tinsel with the world and joy and happiness. He's broke. He's no money. And the only thing he can do is join himself and ask for a job from this pig farmer to look after the pigs. And now we see him, the son of the father, has become the slave of the foreigner. Freedom has been changed into fetters. He's bound now, and the devil has a grip on him, and he has no friends, and he's far away from home. It's a different situation now, isn't it? You know, there's much silly talk today about freedom. People talk about wanting to be free to do as they like, to do their own thing. A preacher once said, "We may want to be free to do as we please, but we soon discover we are not free to stop doing it." Is not a truth? We might be free to do as we please, but if sin comes home to us, we can't stop from doing it. And sin, when it gets a grip, and bad habits, when they get a grip, they're hard to break. And this young man was in an awful condition. He's now in bondage. He's in bondage to this man. And he's now feeding the pigs. Now, in our country, that's no mean job. We don't think anything about that. It's a well worthwhile job. But you see, to the Jew, it was an abomination to be working with the pig. The pig was an unclean beast. And now he is feeding the swine. But more than that, can't you see the picture? He's feeding the swine at the swine truck. And the next thing, he's in among them. And he's vying with the pigs for the swill. Having a good time, hasn't he? It's great down here, you know. I'm working for a pig farmer and I'm eating along with the pigs. See where sin takes you further than you want to go. And it costs more than you want to spend. He's in an awful situation. He doesn't know what to do. He's in bondage. Proverbs 29 verse 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, and many are snared by the fear of man, shackled to the opinions and approvals of their company." This young man, yes, he had a home and a loving father, but he's now in bondage. He's now in bondage. And he's listened to the opinions of others. Oh, it'll take an upturn. Things can only get better. But you see, things can only get better for the sinner when they turn to Christ. They'll not extract themselves from the mess that they're in. And we're all in a mess. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And there's not one of us can save ourselves. And you know, sometimes we listen to the opinions of others. And the Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, your company will have an effect upon you. And many young people are being kept in bondage and in sin because of the opinions of others and what others might think or say. I remember many years ago, and I preached a message in Porto Vogue, and there was a young man out with his father-in-law, and on the way home, he said, "I want to go back to the meeting. I want to go back to the church." And the father-in-law said to him, "Why do you want to go back to the church?" He said, "I need to get saved." And that young man got saved that night. And I wasn't home 15 minutes until I got a phone call. And it was his wife. And I could hear her sobbing. She said, "Mr. Harton, could you come up? We're at my mommy's." So I went up. And she opened the door and the tears were tripping her. And she said, "You don't know how often I wanted to get saved. But I didn't know what my husband would think." Young woman in turmoil, wanted to get saved, knew she needed to be saved, but because of the fear of man, she didn't know what way her husband, wasn't God very gracious? He saved her husband and opened the way for her. So people sometimes are under bondage to the opinions of others. He lost his self-respect. Came from a good home. Was well looked after. Well presented. The future looked bright for him, but he wasn't content with that. And now he's in a far country and he's feeding swine and he's feeding among them. And he's as low as he can get. He hasn't even got the money to buy food. He hasn't money for a change of clothing. He's filthy and he's smelly. And nobody wants to know him. See, that's what sin is tonight. It's an evil, obnoxious thing. And God hates it. He hates it. And it's our sin that keeps us away from God. Keeps us away from God. It's obnoxious unto God, and God must judge with sin. And this young man got to the stage where he came to an end of himself. That was the first ray of light. He came to an end of himself. The Spirit of God was working on his heart. And he began to think right for the first time. And he thought, "You know, I'm sitting here. And I'm as low down as I can get. And my father's servants, they've been well looked after. There's bread and to spare in the Father's house." Friend, if he only knew tonight what is in the Father's house, he will save us. He keeps us. He provides for us. He has promised to meet our every need. He records our names in heaven. He gives us an inheritance in heaven, reserved in heaven for us. And one day he's going to take us to be with himself. And in the meantime, he gives us joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And sometimes, you know, I think to myself, I wonder somebody dying and they're a Christian. And if somebody asked them at their dying hour, "Tell me this, do you ever regret being a Christian?" I'm sure the answer would be, "Not at all. I'm more than delighted that I came to Christ. It's a far better life. It's a happy life." And so it is. This young man came to an end of himself. And perhaps he thought, "I can't go home. I've made a real mess of my life. My dad wouldn't take me back." But you know, he's ever so wrong. Just like someone maybe in the meeting tonight. And you're thinking you're so bad that God couldn't save you. Or wouldn't want anything to do with you. Well, I'm delighted. I read in Romans 5 and 8. "God commendeth his love to us, towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And you know, that takes in all sorts of sinners. Those that are walking on the clean side of the broad road, or those who are walking on the dirty side of the cross, broad road, they're all going to hell. They're all equal. This young man was down, but he wasn't so far down that the Lord couldn't lift him up, that his father wouldn't tell him, take him in. And then you'll notice the discovery that blessed him. You see, he discovered the failure that he was. He began to realize, "I was looking for happiness. I thought I knew better than my father. I thought my happiness was tied up in the far country with my friends and companions and enjoy the nightclubs and all the rest. You know what? I've been a failure. I've been a failure. You see, he had thought himself wise. He had been proved a fool. Thought himself strong. And really, he was weak. Sought happiness. And he found misery. That's the end of the sinner. Misery. Misery in this life. And absolute misery in the next life, which is to come. Because, contrary to the thinking of some, that when you die as a dog, and that's it. It's not it. Paul says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Give an account unto God. And then it's an eternity in hell, where there's torment, where the smoke of their torment arises up forever and forever. He discovered also the father he had. It says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And of course, the son had the speech rehearsed. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against thee and no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned against heaven. And of course, all sin is against heaven. David acknowledged that. Against thee only have I sinned, because all sin is ultimately against God, and it's God that we have to deal with. And he thought he wasn't going to be received, and he had the speech already. But you know what? While he was making his way back, the father saw him from afar off. What was happening? The father was waiting for him. Father never stopped loving that son. He loved him. And he was waiting for him, looking out every day to see if he'd come home. And when the father saw him, he ran. And before the young lad could say anything, he threw his arms around and kissed him and hugged him and showed love and compassion. You see, that's what God does with a sinner when the sinner comes to an end of himself, when he sees his sin and confesses it and repents of it. God will embrace him. It says his father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Bring forth the best robe. You see, you come home, you could have smelt him a mile away. He'd been feeding pigs, and he hadn't even another change of clothes to come home. He just came as he was. And the father met him and threw his arms around him. And I'm sure he must have smelt like a pigsty. But the father didn't care. And friend, you come back. You come to God tonight through Jesus Christ. And God will throw his arms around you. He'll give you the best robe. Take off those filthy garments. Put on the best robe. And if you see, for the sinner, it's throwing off these filthy garments of self-righteousness and putting on the garment of Christ's righteousness. That's how we are accepted of God. We need a righteousness that is not of our own. And then he says, put a ring on his finger and shoes on her feet. The feet shod with the gospel of peace. He was reconciled with the Father. And that's what the Lord does for sinners tonight. He welcomes them. He welcomes there. He's compassionate upon them. And then you'll notice, bring forth the fatted calf. Bring forth the best. And there was rejoicing and merriment. For the father said, this my son was lost and is found, is dead and is alive. And I tell you tonight, when a sinner comes to Christ in repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's rejoicing in heaven. And it doesn't matter how deep-dyed a sinner they might be, God loves the sinner. And the one coming, God will have compassion upon him, and God will save him. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Him or her that cometh unto me. And he doesn't say the good people that come, or the bad people. It just says him. And it doesn't say filthy sinners or clean sinners or not so dirty sinners. It just says him. No matter who he is, what he has done, what he has said, if he comes to me, I will accept him. I will take him in. I'll make him a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. He discovered the fullness he sought. He was brought into the Father's house again. He was reconciled unto the Father, the maiden Mary, and as if he had never been away, and they were so glad to see him. See, that's what God does. You come to Christ, and Christ doesn't start to interrogate you. If you come in repentance and faith, the Lord will take you in and save you. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so all sinners are welcome. Jesus welcomes everyone in. He came from the far country. He came to an end of himself. And it's only when he came to an end of himself and came back to the Father's house that he discovered the fullness that he had. There was bread and to spare. There was a home. There was rejoicing and merriment. He didn't deserve it, did he? He didn't deserve one iota of it. If the Father had made him a hired servant, well, that was more than what he deserved. But the Father brought him home as a son. And friends, tonight, God brings home the sinner. And he brings him into his family and into his fold. Isn't that a lovely thing tonight? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. From all sin. I love that tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple and profound as that. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Coming to Christ. Repenting and believe the gospel. You could come tonight as a sinner and leave this meeting a sinner saved by sovereign grace and on your way to heaven and to home. Oh, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight and help us to think upon these things. And not only think about them, like the young man, but do something about it. You come to Christ tonight and the Lord will save you and take you in.